For today is found in the book of Proverbs, verse 6 of the 22nd Proverb, chapter 22, verse 6. As you know, much of Proverbs are just these quick, short, pithy, wise, truthful sayings that seem disconnected at times. You can go through a whole chapter of 10, 20 verses and have 10 or 20 different thoughts. And so this is a verse like that. It's not necessarily out of context, but there's not a lot of other verses around it that make sense to go with this verse. But there's a lot of verses in Proverbs that are about this particular topic. So this is our scripture for this morning, Proverbs 22, 6. And this is the Message translation. Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Yeah, you might know that verse in another translation a little better. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He won't turn from it. Don't you just love children? Yeah. No? Yes. 4-year-old Noah Bryant. Here we go. 4 years old. Brooklyn, New York. He recently placed an order on his mom's Amazon account. Here's what he ordered. 918 SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles. 51 cases was delivered. They were delivered to his home. And it cost his mom, Jennifer Bryant, it cost her $2,619. 4-year-old Noah, bless his heart. Amazon wouldn't take the order back. So it's, don't you just love kids? Psalm 127 says, children are a gift from the Lord. How blessed are parents who have many. Really? Well, if that's true, then where did we get some of these ideas from? Maybe you've heard some of these ideas. Children should be seen and not heard, you know. Where did this idea come from that, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? What was this person thinking when they said that? That they're just sleeping like a baby. Did they really ever have a baby? This is one of my favorite ones. Insanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids. Yeah. I think the toughest job in the world is to be a parent. And I don't mean simply being a father or mother, because that's just a function of biology. I mean being a parent who raises children who are respectful, who are responsible, who are honest, who are humble. You know, children aren't born with those kinds of crucial dimensions to their character. They need to be trained. They need to be trained to be great. And it takes great effort from great parents to make great kids. And it's a formidable duty. Like I said, I don't think there's a tougher job in the world, but it's also a tremendous opportunity. And I think that's what Psalm 127 was talking about, that they're a gift from the Lord, and how blessed are parents who have many. So our proverb today, our verse from Proverbs 22, verse 6, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. So how do we do that? How do we train up our children? Because, you know, it's not quite like training a dog. We had a miniature schnauzer for 15 years, smartest dog I ever met, just incredible as a pet. He's just a wonderful part of the family. But we also have a daughter who was very smart and who could train that dog. I think we counted one time our dog Blackie knew over 20 tricks that our daughter Hope had trained him to do. And she knew how to do it. And she just was really good at training our dog. One of my favorite trick that she trained Blackie to do would be to make a gun with her fingers, and he would sit down and she would go bang like that, and then Blackie would fall down, he'd lay down, and then he'd turn on his side with his four paws out to the side like that, just like he was dead. Really, really smart. But you know, it's way more important to train our children than it is to train a dog. The good news is that we have some help in that area when it comes to training our children. There is a training manual available for our children. Contrary to popular belief that when a baby's born, it doesn't come with any set of instructions, no, we have a set of instructions that can guide parents on training their children. There's all kinds of verses in the Bible about parenting. There's all kinds of books out there about parenting too, and have been forever. You might want to consult with a Dr. Spock, or you might want to consult with a Dr. Dobson. Dr. Kevin Lehman has written wonderful things about parenting and children. He's got a brand new book out, 8 Secrets on Raising Successful Kids. It'll be a number one bestseller. You can find those out there. But all the good ones have their principles based upon what we find in Scripture. The inspired words of Scripture help us know how to point our kids in the right direction. And maybe you have a parenting plan that works or has worked, and it produces responsible, respectful, honest, humble children, and that's great. More than likely, you should just stick with that. You should endorse that to others. And probably what's happening is the Scripture references about parenting have found their way into what you use to train and raise your children. But if you don't have a parenting plan, and if whatever you're doing isn't working well, then try the prescription found in Scripture for raising children. And a good place to start is in the 3,000-year-old words found in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, we find the way to take what our head and our heart know are right, and we put it to good use. When our head and our heart work together to help us think right and act right, we call that wisdom. And that is what the book of Proverbs is full of. Written by Solomon, wisest man, the Bible says, who's ever lived. And wisdom is not just about knowing a lot of stuff. We've talked about this now for several weeks. It's our head and our heart working together to turn right thinking into right acting. And when it comes to children, what wisdom does is gives us the practical guidelines, the instruction manual for how to spiritually form healthy, spiritually healthy children. There's all kinds of wisdom in Proverbs about children. Chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son, glad father. Foolish son, sad mother. Maybe you've heard this one. Proverbs 23:13. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, Proverbs, I hope you're noticing that they're not necessarily promises of God. They're practical applications of the truth of God. And so the Proverbs about parenting are not a guarantee of any specific method of parenting. Instead, what we learn from Proverbs about parenting will challenge us to take stock of the relationships that we have with the significant children around us. Might be our kids, might be our grandkids, maybe some neighbors' kids, who knows? But all of that, our relationships with children, all of that's important. There's a great passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus, for quite a while now, has been teaching publicly. He's been performing miracles. He's been claiming to be the Messiah. He's cultivated a relationship with 12 other men, the 12 disciples, that is strong and true, and he's investing his life into them. And so this is a big deal, and his whole ministry is snowballing. It's kind of reaching a pinnacle as he gets close to the last week of his earthly life, as he gets close to that holy week where at the end of the week he's crucified, and then Easter morning he's raised from the dead. So this is at that kind of high point of Jesus's public ministry. And some parents bring their children to Jesus to have them blessed by him. And you remember what the disciples do? You remember the disciples' response? Well, listen to this. People brought children to Jesus, hoping he might bless them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. And then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. Jesus underscored at that point something he did a lot in his ministry, and underscored the value of people, women, children. And he was telling his disciples, who thought this thing of faith, this thing of following Jesus, this thing of religion, thought it was just for adults only. But Jesus said, no, this is for everybody, including children. Formidable duty, a tremendous opportunity. So this morning, what we'd like to do is pick out those main ways in which the book of Proverbs helps us understand how it is we're to train our children, to raise them up. And again, you can find a lot of good books out there on it. You can find a lot of information, wisdom in Scripture about it. But in the book of Proverbs, there's basically three main ways in which we're called to train up our children. And so we're going to talk about what those three things are, what the three things that kids need to do, and the three ways the parents can help them accomplish that. And so the first one is that children need to listen. The whole book of Proverbs is about, generally speaking, a parent sitting down and passing on wise things to his children. It's about Solomon, King Solomon, talking to his son or sons about what's valuable in life. And nearly 40 times in the book of Proverbs, this word listen is used, or the phrase pay attention. And so the parent is trying to help the child understand how valuable it is to listen. And that's what children need to do. Proverbs 1:8, right off the bat in the book of Proverbs. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And the way the book of Proverbs says that we're to help our children listen is to talk to them, to teach them, to sit down face to face, have some important, serious, heart-to-heart conversations with our children. Because in Proverbs 4, the Bible says, you know, listen and don't let this go in one ear and out the other, because how many times does that happen? How many times have we felt that we've said things to our children, maybe over and over and over again, and it just seems to go in one ear and out the other? It's kind of like Solomon has sat down with his kids and said, listen, you have two ears and only one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you speak. It looks like that's how God's designed us. Dr. James Dobson focuses on the family creator and leader. He did a study, his group, several years ago. They wanted to know how much time during a typical day does a dad have undivided quality conversation with his children. And so they did this study. They'd put a stopwatch on the conversation. And it might be around breakfast. Hi, honey, how you doing? Sleep okay? You know, what's your day like? Hope you have a good one. See you tonight. Stop the clock. That was about, 15 seconds? Well, what Dobson found was the amount of times that dads spend directly conversing face-to-face with their children was just under 2 minutes. What Proverbs is saying is, in order for children to listen and to pay attention, parents need to learn ways to communicate with their kids, ways to engage them, ways in which, and one of them is just amount of time, ways in which you can spend more than just 2 minutes with your children. Say their name, get eye to eye with them, engage them with a question, respect them. If you want them to respect you, respect them. Those kinds of healthy pieces of conversation that we all know about that we take to an adult level, we need to make sure we take it to a children's level as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So what do you talk about? Well, there's a lot of things to talk to kids about. But as followers of Jesus, we have to talk to them about the Lord. We have to talk to them about faith. That's our number one mandate as parents, is to help children know the Lord. It's not up to any classroom, whether it's a Sunday school classroom or other kind of classroom. It's not up to somebody else, grandma or grandpa. All those things might help, but the main responsibility for passing on the faith, the main responsibility for discipling our children, the main responsibility of talking to them and teaching them about Jesus falls right squarely on the shoulder of the parents. And surely you can find more than 2 minutes of something to talk about in Scripture. You could read a psalm together with your child. That's going to take more than 2 minutes. Talk about a story that Jesus talked about, a parable or something. It's important. In order for our children to learn to listen, that we make talking to them / teaching them, we make that a priority as parents. Because kids need that. They hear things from a lot of different places. And they need you, they need us, parents, grandparents, they need us to help them know what the truth is. It's like one Easter morning, mom was getting her kids dressed and getting them dressed with extra special care to go to church that morning. And the youngest one said, Mom, why are we getting so extra dressed up today? And mom said, well, today is Easter. Do you know what Easter's all about? She said, yes. Yes, it's a marvelous time. We go and we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, that he'd been buried in the tomb and the rock was rolled away. And when they went and looked in the tomb, it was empty. He was gone. Do you know what that means? And the little girl said, yes. That means if he sees his shadow, then he's not going to go back in for 6 weeks. So it's up to us to help them, because they're going to hear a lot of stories from a lot of places. And so engaging children to be able to help them to listen better is one of the main things that Proverbs says is our responsibility as parents. The second thing is obedience. Kids need to obey. We talked about Ephesians 6, 4, parents, do not exasperate your children. Well, just a couple of verses before that, in Ephesians 6, 1, the Bible says, children, don't exasperate your parents. Works both ways. Instead, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. And so, if children are going to learn obedience, then parents, in order to help them learn obedience, have to exercise discipline. They have to exercise some system of reward and punishment so the children understand that it's important to obey. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children while you still have the chance. Indulging them destroys them. And of course, like we read a few minutes ago from Proverbs 23, spare the rod, spoil the child. That phrase is in the book of Proverbs 9 times. Not just that one verse, but 9 times it talks about how important it is to discipline your children. Here's an example, Proverbs 13:24. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Proverbs 22:15. Children are prone to foolishness and fads. The cure comes through tough-minded discipline. Children need boundaries. When they seem to be rebellious, when they seem to be pushing all your buttons, mom and dad, that's just normal. They want to find out how far they can go. And it's up to parents to say, wait, this is the line right here. Don't go cross it. And so as kids grow, they're trying to discover parameters for living. And so parents are responsible to set the boundaries. Parents are responsible to being consistent, sticking with it. Jesus, in Hebrews 5:8, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience. And in 12:6, Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines those he loves. We've all experienced the discipline from God. We've all pushed the boundaries. We've all gone across the line and learned our lessons. And some of those directly from God. We've felt that we've been smacked sometimes by God because he knew we needed it. Yeah. Discipline is an important aspect of raising children. And Proverbs says, do it. Mom, dad, that's your job. Now, of course, children are wired differently. And so even in the same family, sisters and brothers can have different propensities to what their rebelliousness might look like. You can have a baby and put the baby on a blanket on the floor, and that baby will roll around, crawl around, and just stay right on the blanket because that's how they're wired. Put that baby sibling in a playpen, and that sibling will do everything they can to crawl out of that playpen as fast as possible. And so, yeah, children need to be are wired and need to be sometimes addressed differently. And that's one of the other hard aspects of being a parent, is getting to know your children, because one could be as different from the other as night is from day. And so we have to be wise about what works when it comes to this reward/punishment idea of discipline. And wisdom means we choose our battles wisely. Wisdom means we don't make everything a world war, but we choose our battles wisely. Wisdom also says that some lessons are more important than other lessons. I think the two most important lessons that parents need to work on with their children, besides this whole idea of growing them spiritually in Christ, I think this whole idea of delayed gratification is really important. And so, you know, you need to work all week doing your chores, and you get your allowance at the end of the week. You need to work all semester hard on your grades, get good grades, and then the special meal out to eat comes at the end of the semester. You know, this whole idea of, you know, you work because that's what you're supposed to do, and the reward comes at the end of the work. That's a hard lesson for kids to grasp. It's a tough lesson for parents to teach, but I think it's important. I think the other important lesson is that there are consequences for bad choices. If you set clear parameters, rules and regulations around the house, and child's not abiding by them, there has to be some consequences for that. It can't just be that parents sweep that under the carpet, hope it'll get better tomorrow. There has to be some way in which the child knows that there are boundaries, and if you mess with those boundaries, step outside those boundaries, that's not appropriate. So the whole discipline factor in parenting is huge, and Proverbs underscores that and helps us with understanding how parents need to take that on, because kids need to obey. And finally, third major area that Proverbs focuses on when it comes to parenting is the whole idea that kids need to respect others. They need to honor other people. And the way that parents can best do that is to model what it means to honor and respect others. Kids pay attention. Some kids are just like sponges. They soak up everything you say. They see everything you do. And if you're not treating someone with respect, they'll pick that up. They'll see, they'll notice. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it's the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother. That's an important lesson for children to learn. They're not born with that. They're not born with any of these. They're not born with a propensity to listen. They're not born with a propensity to obey. They're not born with a propensity to respect other people, to honor their parents. That's why moms and dads, we have to help them learn those things. Proverbs 11:29, he who brings trouble on his family will inherit the wind. Proverbs 27, I love this verse. Proverbs 20, verse 7, God-loyal people living honest lives make it much easier for their children. And so it's important for us to take care of our own house, because our kids will sense our character. They'll sense what we value as we interact with others, and they'll pick it up. Life, love, faith, those kinds of things are more caught in the home than they are taught in any classroom environment. The best thing parents can do for their children is to let them see how they love God, to let them see how they love each other, let them see how they love other people. I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Gary Smalley, but or it might be Dr. Dobson, but one of them said that the best thing you can do for your children, moms, is let them see you loving their dad. Best thing that you can do for your children, dad, is to let them see you loving their mom. That role model that we live out our life in front of our children helps them understand how to honor and respect and love others. Proverbs 13:22, a good life gets passed on to the children and grandchildren. Kids need to listen, they need to obey, they need to respect others. And in order for that to happen, parents have to talk with them, have to discipline, have to model that. So yesterday, Becky and I were out working in the garden. So we're kind of past the coolness and the frost of the spring, and so we can put some more things out in the garden. We've already got rhubarb and peas and spinach growing in the garden, but it's time to plant beans, time to plant, get some tomato plants in, time to get some onion sets in, put some flowers out. So we've got a gardening spot in the backyard, and Becky and I were out busy yesterday afternoon. Well, I should say Becky was out busy yesterday afternoon putting in the garden. I was helping. Well, actually, I should say I was watching. yeah, Becky's the farmer. I go get the can of water and I water in the flowers, you know. At one point, she was wondering, what else should we plant in here? We don't have a lot of space, but she was wondering, what should we plant? And how do you know what to plant? You know, and a garden takes a lot of work. You got to prep the soil. So she was out with her hoe, you know, breaking up the soil, getting it ready for the seed. You got to make sure that it's appropriate. There's enough nutrients in the soil to make what you want grow. So she's done all of that prep work. And then you've got to put the seed in. You got to put it at the right depth in the right places. Lot involved, way more than what I would know, but the good gardener understands all of that. And then you have to trust that it's going to have some sunshine and some rain, and that the birds will leave it alone. Yeah. And I got to thinking, you know, that's a good illustration for raising some kids as well. Because in every child's life, there needs to be some sunshine, some good, happy times. There needs to be some rain, some challenging times, some tough times, some tough conversations. The soil needs to be prepared right from the get-go. Early on, there needs to be some work to have the home ready, prepared. Parents need to think through, how are we going to talk to our kids? How are we going to discipline them? How are we going to model? You know, when the child comes and there's diapers to change and 2 o'clock in the morning feedings, it's really tough to have those preparedness conversations. And so it's good to have that soil broken ahead of time. And then what do you plant? I think you plant peas, like politeness and preparedness and punctuality. You plant squash. Squash gossip, squash disrespect, squash selfishness. I think you plant lettuce. Let us love one another. Let us be honest. Let us be respectful. Let us be faithful. There are some things that you plant in the ground of a family that you might not see results right away, but with the proper amount of sunshine, positive, warm influence, and some rain, dealing with the tough issues, maybe some struggles that you work through together, then those kinds of things, the peas, the squash, the lettuce, they'll grow in the family. And you, one day you'll look back at your garden of children and you'll say, my children are a gift from God. I'm blessed. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Oh God, we call you Father because we know of your loving goodness and how you help your children. The warmth sun of your love has smiled upon our lives, and you've sent rain into our life when we needed to be challenged, confronted. Tough times have produced character in us, and that's all part of your fatherly goodness in our lives. Now we pray, Lord, that you'll help us as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, folks who have relationships with other children, our own or whoever. Help us, Lord, to contribute to their growth in healthy ways. Help us, Lord, to model before them just what you would want them to be, and use us to speak into their life use us to help them see the reality of your love, your presence, your grace, your truth in life. That's our mighty prayer this morning. I pray for all parents. I pray that you'll grant them the extra wisdom and grace and patience needed to be courageous, faithful parents. Bless them, bless their children. We thank you for your word this morning. Help us to be wise and apply that word in wonderfully practical ways. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.